Kovalo, the full moon and stars, the house lights in the valley, Inspiration Point, Highway 162, winding down to the valley, 10,000-year trail. A large oak and moonlight, across the motionless snow, the barren shadow. The quiet night air is broken by a sharp breeze. I continue to walk. The crunch by crunch beat, the memories of my father and the cold, deep earth. The breeze becomes wind. High on an old willow branch, a lone leaf flutters. Along the roadside, thorny, dormant vines waiting for blackberry buds. Valley, moon, starlight, willow, oak, blackberry roots, and the cold, deep earth. Small part of a thumb, an emptiness still within, I continue to walk. In the dark distance, light from a fireplace.
Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives. Today, hosts are me, Shanice,
Yardi,
Clay,
Noelia. We are students at the Round Valley High School in Kovalo.
We will discuss how well the current model of high school education serves the Native American students.
Yeah.
whole world paradigm. Fun, you stand in tight. It's a sweet investigation. Learning rope by rope, climbing hope by hope, in every combination. And Lord, not the way it should be, but it's wild and it's unique.
I'm Shanice Bray, and I am a few different tribes, but my main ones are Yuki and Wailaki.
Yeah, I'm Clay Rubano, and I'm all six of Round Valley tribes. We got Pomo, Wailaki, Nomalaki, Pit River, Yuki, and Konkau, I think. All six.
I'm Noelia Davila, and I am Yuki and Pit River.
This is called The Past. It's the second poem or song in my Round Valley Songs book. The Past. From heart through mind into image, the pulse of the four directions, the voice of our blood, the spirit of breath and words. In chipped and tattered weavings of a willow basket, the voice of an ancient age dreaming of breath.
See, for me, coming to school, I would like to see more of the kids' activities and stuff they do in school to be represented throughout the school. Like, say, for instance, in welding class, I would like to see, like, what their projects are doing to have them displayed throughout the school. So that would encourage students to participate a little more. And I think it would bring involvement throughout classes and stuff, seeing others' artwork and such being displayed and knowing that that could be theirs too. That's what I think.
I think if there's more teachers, as Shanice said, if there's more teachers that would participate in other activities, we could have, like, when people first get off the bus to get into their school, they should, like, have, for, like, math classes, have sales or whatever to raise money for their classes, have them be able to count the money and stuff, or for, like, art, have them have a bunch of posters and everything, have this whole art club and everything, just have different groups for each class, that way everybody's doing something different instead of just being sitting at a desk doing all the work all day. They could turn that work into activities like literature. They could have people reading to a bunch of other kids. They can go to the different classes at the elementary school and read to them.
I think the vibe, there'd be much more spirit within the students and the staff, because, you know, some staff members, they act as if they don't want to teach. You know, they're just for the money. And then a lot of students, they are very disrespectful, and I think that would be changed. Stuff would be cleaner and nicer. A lot of stuff here is all old and can't even use it because it's all broke. I mean, that keeps our spirits down, too, because our school doesn't even have money to do anything, you know? Like, I don't know, when you walk in, you see a teacher smiling, that might feel good. Some teachers just look at you, get kind of scared.
Yeah, if there was loud music on the loudspeakers, it would be cool. It'd be better for students. Like, Ain't Too Proud to Beg by the Temptations.
Me. Ain't too proud to beg, and you know it. sweet to you, baby. The feeding keeps you from walking out that door.
Yeah, oldies. Temptations. Anything from the Temptations?
I have to say my English class has a good vibe every day. Everybody's more energetic and happy to be there instead of being sitting there being quiet and happening to do a bunch of work. There's more talking and you get to be motivated, like with all your friends. The teacher, she's a lot more motivated than any other teachers I know. Because she talks in a different tone with everybody. She's more happy about it. She's more happy about telling us what's going on in English. She decided to talk, just to talk to the students. It's not just so much about the subject. She's excited to talk to the students.
Instead of having some random weird paintings on the wall, they should have students' paintings. I don't know. I think that would make the kids feel more comfortable. You know, just being here, I guess.
In a chert arrowhead speckled with quartz, I have seen our grandfathers along a stream east of the valley, lancing salmon and deer. Swimming up the eel, a spirit sings, acorn pound the old way draws the milk of earth.
I've gone for my freshman and sophomore year, and then I went to a Native American boarding school in Oregon, and then I came back for my senior year. It was just kids thrown together from each state. I liked that everyone knew each other and they always talked, like even if they had like beef, I guess you would say, or whatever, like in the conflict, you would end up like in the end you still talk to each other and you still see each other no matter what. And I felt like that was more like a good community thing, because in my other school there was really like a lot of people and no one really talked to, like only groups here and there, like they really had their cliques, and here everyone just talks to everybody. At the Native American boarding school, we did have a Native literature that we did learn about how the boarding school started and like the effects it had on people and their communities at home, and how they were treated in the boarding schools and stuff. My dream of this high school would be more colorful, more plants, more flowers, more like pictures of like us just doing things around the school, paintings of people, like of the students doing it themselves for them to be proud of something they did for the school, cleaner, brighter. A classroom with the most like a good vibe would be with music, like everybody else said, but also just like when you walk into a classroom, it has like white walls, and it being plain, it really doesn't have any uniqueness to it. Like, it's just simple and plain. I think that the teachers should like brighten it up more.
Was it different at the boarding school?
Yeah, each teacher had, like, pictures of their old students and paintings that the students did or artwork that the students did for them. They had their own uniqueness to their classroom, like, something they enjoyed, or, like, it was more of who they were than just, it's a classroom.
I would like to see more school spirit and participation from everybody. And more pep rallies, just a funner place to be at, I guess. The classroom that has the best fit for me is our science and Spanish with the freshman class, because they're all crazy a lot right now, like hyper and stuff, and they have a lot of school spirit, I think. But it's going to change when they get older.
What?
I don't know, just when classes get older, all their school spirit starts to go away.
as Jardy was saying, I think with the school spirit, I think when you get into school, your first day at school is always going to be exciting because you're doing something new. But throughout the whole years, it's always been the same thing. It gets extremely boring. And then when you're graduating, it gets extremely, extremely exciting because you're getting to leave. And everybody's going to be focused on you. It's going to be something new. And like with your preschool graduation, it's your first year in, it's your first year out. And then you have to go up to your eighth grade graduation, and then it's going to be, you're going through the whole, what is it, 8 years? 8 years, and then you're doing absolutely the same thing over and over, and it's just nothing but schoolwork. And then you get to graduate, you get to leave all that. And you get to go into a bigger kid's school. You get to go into high school. And then that's going to be new, so it's going to be exciting because you're going to feel that it's going to be something different. But when you find out it's not something different. You can't wait to graduate. And then when you graduate high school, you want to go into college. And it's going to be exciting doing that. I think if they did like things each day different, I think if they did like say one day outside doing an activity, one day inside doing an activity, studying whatever they're studying at that point, or if they're maybe one day doing work and then the Friday is a big fun day or whatever. The last day of the week is a big fun day, or if you're listening to music all throughout the week, or I don't know, one of my teachers has this thing, it's called PAT time, personal activity time. You have to save up in this bank for the end of the week for a Friday, and then you just get to spend the whole day in your class, but you get to do what you want. History. Mr. Williams?
I kind of, to a point, I disagree with the whole school spirit. I think when you're a freshman, you think it's really cool and you have school spirit, but when you look at the older kids, they really don't have it. And so if you want to be a cool kid, you just don't have the school spirit anymore. You don't have your own voice. You don't speak out in what like you believe in or how you feel. You just try to follow the crowd and try to be cool, because being different isn't cool. Being the same as everybody else is. And that's why I think a lot of the students don't have the school spirit. I feel like if they actually made like more and different activities in like not the same repeated over and over and over, you know, and also get like the older kids involved and actually show who they really are, like their true colors, and actually like show them that they could have a good time. So when the younger children or the kids, younger people see that the older people are actually having fun and it's okay to laugh and be themselves, then the younger kids are going to say, okay, it's okay, and just be themselves and be able to speak out in their own voice.
I kind of agree with Talanda because with the school spirit, I think if they have all these, like say seniors, they're kind of excited because they get to leave and experience something new in college or get a job or whatever. They get to start their own family. With the freshmen, they're coming up and they're excited because they're in high school with all these big kids. When they're in eighth grade, they don't want to be with all the younger kids. They want to be with the big kids. So they're excited to do that. But with the sophomores and juniors, I think their main problem is that they're not doing enough fun activities. Like the juniors, yeah, they get to put on prom, but the seniors, they get to get ready for their graduation. The freshmen, they're just now coming up, so they get to get ready for the whole next 4 years. They're pumped up about that. But I think they need to get more activities, like, say, with the senior graduation. That's the senior thing. The juniors have prom. I think they need to get more activities for the juniors and sophomores and all that, because the seniors have their whole senior walk, their trip, their graduation. The freshmen, they don't really need to do nothing because they just got done with everything that they did in eighth grade. But the sophomores and juniors, they don't have much to do.
I think to help increase participation, I think that they should have more class activities, like say freshmen, you know, the classes do activities amongst each other so that they will get to know each other, like Thailanda said, a little better, and Jason, and they'll get to understand each other a little better, and by that they'll have a better time experiencing whatever they are, you know, and experiencing high school a little better, I guess.
Like examples is like for students that want to grow up and go into college, they should have some activities for that. Like say I want to go into law school, they don't have any activities for law here. Or like say if Shanice wanted to go be a doctor, they don't have anything to prove to show for a doctorate, an activity for that. I think they should have some stuff for like say the sophomores and juniors and seniors or even freshmen and get them involved for something that they want to do. As in, like, say if they want to do for the freshman year, they want to go and be a lawyer, get some activities as a lawyer. If they change their mind their sophomore year and want to be a doctor, have some activities as a doctor. They should have some more activities for not just for high school, but also for their careers after they get out of high school.
Based on what Noelia was saying about how people need to get to know each other and support each other, I think examples could be our music class. You know, we have a lot of talented kids who can rap and who can sing, and I think we need one day, you know, to get together on the quad and, like, cheer for them and listen to them sing, let them express themselves through their songs, because some of them write their own songs, you know, and expresses how they feel and who they are. And I think just to support them and show them that, you know, we are here for them because we are a close community and everyone can be close, that I think that would bring a lot of spirit into the school.
From fresh currents of night air, above manzanitas near the cemetery, the words of ancient lips turn in our blood again.
Also, I think as far as the students want to be comfortable in the school and want to be pumped up about it, I think they should be able to wear what they want and express in their own clothing. Like, there shouldn't be a dress code in what they want to wear. If they want to be pumped up and they want to be excited, don't make them wear what they don't want to wear. Don't make them be who they don't want to be. As far as Round Valley's dress code is, there's no red or blue NorCal or 707 shirts. Some people will actually like that. It's not that it's gang related. It's like what they want to wear. It's what describes them. It's not describing them as a gang member. But I mean, if the school is assuming it's something that's for a gang or whatever, and there's no gangs in Round Valley, then why can't they show what they want to show people? What they want to show people?
I think the reason why they set those guidelines is they don't want to take the risk and have some big issues happen that can destroy the community. Because if we have, like, say, if the school allows the students to wear that and they do happen to be part of some sort of gang, and, you know, it could cause a lot of issues throughout the community, and then the whole community will be torn. And it will just it's not going to help the community, it's just only going to bring it down.
It's red shirts, it's got the red and blue shirts because they got the 707 on the red, or they got the NorCal on the blue or whatever, and they say that it could be gang related. But if it's like just a regular blue shirt, I'm pretty certain you can, and if it's just a regular red shirt, I'm sure you can. But I think it's just the NorCal and the 707 you can't wear.
There is dress codes on how girls and guys should dress, as in too sexy, like where girls are not allowed to wear short skirts, we're not allowed to show our bra straps, cleavage, no bellies, we can't show our bellies. But I mean, I agree with that because the generations now are like getting a lot more, like, they want to show more skin and stuff. And I mean, it kind of expresses who you are, but it kind of shows that you really, like, I don't know, maybe not care about yourself as much as you should, because you're just showing a lot of skin and that's not really appropriate for, like, I don't know, there's appropriate wear for, like, each thing. And if you could wear that at home, but you shouldn't wear that at school, you know?
I think that it doesn't always have to do with fitting in. I think a lot has to do with, like, television and the new media, because a lot of the new media consists of all that bad, you know, bad things, I guess, and, like, how people should dress and, like, different things. And I think that kind of influences it a little bit, and it kind of, you know, creates a bigger issue.
The new sexy is more sluttier than back then, because if you talk to our older parents, like the dads and whatnot, they say girls really didn't dress like that, but they, how do you put that? Like, the more they wore, the more, like, they thought was pretty than, like, the less they wore. You know, I mean, if they came to school nowadays, I mean, I think that, oh, yeah, they'd think it was hot. But back then, they really didn't expect girls to dress like that. Like, girls think they should dress like that now, you know?
It was, like, disrespectful.
Yeah. It's back then, it was disrespectful for you to show off your skin like that. It was disrespecting you and disrespecting others around you.
As an example, as I could just say, with a bunch of music videos, there's like with Nicki Minaj, she's showing a lot of her body off, or with like Hilary Duff, like back when she was famous, she would wear those half shirts or whatever, and yeah, and Jersey Shore, like, yeah, they show off a lot.
I think a lot of shows nowadays are more, like they were saying, you know, girls show more, and there's a lot of bad language, and so, like, I know when I was growing up, there wasn't as much as that, so I grew up more, you know, still not into that. I didn't know a lot of that, and now it shows it so much, even, like, on little kid cartoon shows, and now I know kids who are in second, third grade, and they know more stuff than I even know. You know, their language is horrible, and I think it's just because it's in everything. Even in cartoons, like, nothing is, like, innocent anymore. I think just seeing it more, they want to try it out and, you know, experiment with it more. And I think that's why girls want to show when they're in high school, you know. In high school is when you kind of are in that stage anyway and you have more of your body to work with. And I think growing up, seeing all that, they want to be that because they think, you know, that's how I'm going to get on TV. That's how I'm going to be cool.
When guys do, like, express themselves on how they think about you, I mean, at some point of it, it feels like, oh yeah, they notice me, and oh, I may be prettier, I may be sexy or whatever. But part of like, I know from experience, like, part of it's like kind of disrespectful, like, because what girl really wants to be hollered at, or, like, you know, I would rather have them say it in a respectful way and say, oh, you're beautiful, than them saying, you're, like, you're sexy or you're hot. It's more disrespectful than anything, you know? I mean, some girls may want the power of, oh, I can entice you and I can make you want me and then tease you. But, I mean, I feel like most practical girls would just want to be, like, called beautiful or something more than hollered at.
A few traditions live alongside a garden walk in two large stones now called mortar and pestle.
I think students will always say, you know, they're taking classes, oh, what am I going to use this for in the future? But in reality, I mean, depending on what job you get, each subject will be used somewhere, you know, depending on what kind of life you lead. However, I think that we can prevent kids from thinking all that if, you know, inside our, if the teachers, when they give us assignments, would be more activities, more projects, you know, more hands-on, I would say, because the more work you just do, the more book work and just paperwork, you know, it gets boring, and that's when people get down and don't want to do it.
I also think, like, if teachers show, like, say, English, they give examples on what you would use that subject in what jobs you would want to be, like a writer, or, like, you have to use writing in every practical job, no matter what, even if it's you're writing it down with, like, on a pen and paper, or if you're typing it up, you still have to use great literature, good literature, to actually be respected and, like, say, okay, like, we take them serious because they actually have good literature and, you know, like, they could actually use it. Or even math, it's cooking, like, carpentry, like, you need it for, like, math, you need a lot of it, you know. And some subjects like geometry or algebra or, like, you know, like, some of it seems like, oh, whatever, but I still think, like, you really do, like, use most of the subjects that the schools give you, no matter, even if it's, like, a great deal in your job or if it's just simple, you know. I still think that you still need all of the subjects that you're being taught.
Some classes, you know, depending on the teacher, may not be able to be more practical, but I think if it's possible, like you're explaining math with the checkbook, I think that would totally help more kids, you know. Math, the cool thing about it is it can be taught in different ways. You know, it's not just one way to learn everything. Like, different examples can go for, you know, for one equation, you can do it four different ways, depending on how your mind works. And so I think, you know, if the teacher was willing to and can do more practical things like that, I think a lot more kids would be ready to learn and more interested. I like our history class. I mean, there is a lot of reading and a lot of work to go with it, because when you're learning history, there's a lot to learn. You know, there's two sides to everything if you're talking about world wars and stuff like that. Personally, I kind of like our history class because it's not all just book reading. You know, he allows us to do projects that are much cooler. Like last year, we did a project, we were learning about Charles Darwin, and so he allowed us to do a project where we actually had to write a diary entry pretending we were him. And on that poster, we had to put different actual physical things on the paper, like bird feathers or anything that he could have found, and describe it. And like, it made it cool because it was hands-on stuff rather than just reading out of the book. This year, my junior year, it's U.S. history, so it's all the stuff about the United States. And it's the same thing any time, like, he'll show more movies, too, because there's more about our history. And I don't know, I just like it because it's not always just book work and tests. He does do projects, and it allows us to get a chance away from reading and actually put some creativity into the work. I haven't had any California history.
Oh, neither have I.
For 3 days before and after summer's new and full moons, beneath ripples near the head of the Russian, bass will spawn beside sandbars. Long ago, black bears sang around our lodge fires. Tonight, they dance alive through our dreams.
Wars between the native people and settlers.
I believe also here it's extremely important because the majority of our school is Native American. And for the longest time, you know, it was always just world history, but we never got to learn too much about our history. And I know now at the school they do offer Native American studies. However, they cram it in with to where it conflicts with other classes that we need. So there's not a lot of group that actually gets to take the class.
Joe Ress is teaching Native American studies or history or something for his fourth period.
I think that they should add that into the requirements, so that could be part of our history that we could take.
I think that is one of the benefits of being such a close community, is that the community, since we are close, you know, we all know stuff, and so everyone can talk. Like during our Indian days, you know, there are speakers and everyone talks about our history and we get to learn more.
When we spoke the mother tongue of the valley and counted the spaces between our fingers. Today, metrics cut underneath the pounds, feet, and quarts.
I think that the education that we're learning now doesn't really serve Native American students because it doesn't really focus on their backgrounds and what they had to go through. It's more on what...
I think it doesn't really show their culture. It's not really who they are or what they're about. I mean, in a way, it benefits us because, you know, we're living in, you know, the United States where it's all... You know, we're supposed to learn this certain English, this certain history. However, serving us Native Americans, it doesn't benefit us because we don't know our own traditional ways, which I think goes back to our topic when we're talking about how our Native American literature should be a required study in our school.
I don't like how a lot of Natives, there's a stereotype to where, like, everyone's like, oh, they're just Natives and they drink and smoke and they're worthless and they live off the government and stuff. And I think if the Native American culture was taught to the Native students, that stereotype would somewhat change and people would get a different view on how Natives really are, instead of hearing that and thinking and judging them for that kind of person. That's what I think.
No, I don't think it serves the Native American culture well. Because being a Native American, I don't really learn nothing about our culture. Just regular, normal stuff like history, math, and all, English. Nothing about our culture, no, not even our language, you know. That's what we need. My senior year, and we don't even have none of that. This year is the first year that they offered Native American studies.
The woman with white hair only whispered tattoo, but through my ears, 30,000 years echo.
I think if there was any way, you know, and I'm sure there is, you know, the school, they need to realize that there's the high school here at Round Valley, you know, it is the majority Native American students. And so they should get on it to where, like Clay was saying, we need to learn our own language as well as just the regular English classes. You know, our languages in some certain tribes are dying out because not many people know them. So we need to know our traditional ways, our culture, so that way we can go into life and know who we are and about ourselves. We need pride.
I think by our languages being taken away, I think it all goes back to that, was it social Darwinism idealist thing, to where like the strongest strongest and fittest survive. So by one language or ethnic group taking over, dominating, they feel them, and it brings them bigger power and allows them to do more things. And so if they have less language within the world, it increases their power and mobility and stuff, I think. And so I think that was a huge effect on the Native people, because they not having the technology that was coming into that the settlers were bringing in, destroyed their culture and their language and destroyed the people and all. And that, I think that has a huge impact on the natives today.
Skirmishes leading to blood and death have marked Hatchet Ridge for centuries, but no one just killed before, like at Fishtown on the South Fork.
Send you here to dispose of us as you see fit. If I thought you were sent by the Creator, I might be induced to think you had a right to dispose of me. Do not misunderstand me, but understand me fully with reference to my affection for the land. I never said the land was mine to do with as I choose. The one who has a right to dispose of it is the one who has created it. I claim a right to live on my land and accord you the privilege to return to yours. Thank you.
brother, we have listened to your talk. Coming from our father, the great white chief at Washington, and my people have called upon me to reply to you.
It would be nice if once graduating high school, you could have picked up a skill or more that would allow you to earn more than a minimum wage, which you can get without having to go to high school. Yeah, we could have classes that teach us, you know, skills for the future, but also, like, what about classes or electives that help with, like, volunteer work? Because I know if you plan to go to college, certain jobs, you know, colleges are more likely to accept you if you have community service or volunteer work. Like, I know for personal experience, I want to be a vet, and most vet schools, you know, the more volunteer work you have, the more they're likely to accept you. And so, I mean, every chance I get, I volunteer with local vets that come up. But, I mean, it's hard because, you know, it also conflicts with school. And so it'd be nice if our school would help or offer more. I think going to high school and even going further than that would definitely benefit your future. And, it, you know, the more people who are educated, it will benefit our economy and our, you know, our community. You know, the more educated people, you know, there's better jobs, you know, and less, you know, crime and stuff, because more people, usually when you're more educated, you're more, like, professional. However, there are exceptions, you know, people who don't go to school, who don't go to high school, but yet, you know, they work at home or they farm or stuff, and it keeps them fine, you know. You don't have to go to high school to not be professional, but, I mean, that's why I'd say it's debatable.
I agree with Shanice. I think that, a lot of successful people aren't always educated, and they do very well with themselves and their businesses, and they're able to accomplish what they need and want to accomplish without the education. And I think it's great for someone if they really wanted to get educated to go for it, but others may think otherwise. The charter school that we have in Round Valley is from kindergarten through 7th grade now. It used to be from kindergarten to 8th grade, but since they had budget cuts and it was very difficult for the teachers to manage the classes because there was, what is it, two classes per teacher, and the junior high had three classes for the junior high class, I guess. It made it very difficult, so they, our charter school only goes to seventh grade.
I think a lot about testing, you know, teachers and schools, they especially focus on it and how good you do on it. However, the teachers are supposed to help prepare you for it, and sometimes they don't do that the right way. Like, every student's different, and, you know, just sitting there making them read and cram a whole bunch of stuff in a class period, that doesn't help them necessarily prepare for it. Some kids learn different ways, you know, more examples, whether they see it, whether they write it themselves, you know. I think teachers need to be more open and help kids learn what helps them best prepare for a test.
Thank you for this amazing opportunity to express my thoughts and emotions.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to be on the radio show.
On the summit of Blue Nose, night wind races through long hair, and tears stream down laughing Yuki faces, tens of thousands of years old.
That's all for this month's edition of You Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Shanice.
Clay.
Noelia.
Yardi.
You Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with the Safe Schools, Healthy Students, Bronco Project.
Building resiliency opportunities for the North County. For information about the Bronco program, please call Pat Sanborn at 459-5314 or email at patsanborn@willitsunified.com.
Please visit the Bronco website at sshsbronco.org. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by email at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net.
There you can find out more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previous programming in streaming audio.
The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KZYX, or they are views of those who express them.
You Speaks Out is aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 4 weeks, that is January 6th at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in January.
the blue horse of night. From the skull of a blue horse, I rise into daylight. The skeletons of three salmon have been laid on pebbles along the Rio Grande. Piranha teeth flash in a nameless stream deep inside the earth. At the bottom of a stone shaft leading to an underground sea, shadows of sharks glide. Am I still dreaming the blue horse of night? My great-grandmother and infant daughter have been a closed chamber in the house of my dream's shadows. They open the headwaters of our stream and point the guiding star. I feel emptied of breath and filled with specks of dust. When their faces are my face with teeth vanishing, then growing from bare gums, at the instant an alarm clock with white wings is stopped in mid-air over a landscape of sand. The blue horse gallops on. I awaken for a moment, shaking and breathless. Nothingness surrounds me. Outdoors in a snowdrift, a black man is walking alone. A shiver ignites and fades inside, hidden from the lamp of sight. And I see in a shadow within a shadow, a silhouette of myself on the wall, peering out into myself. I sink again into the shadow. My brain is an island on the lake inside my skull. I am swimming in the womb of dreams. The spine is a bridge to the world of the trilobite. The words leap from the eyes of night and the blue horse. In the quick of my cells is a spirit, a mane flaming in the sky, looking for the way home. And the black man, the silvery shadows, the silhouette on the wall in night light, and the shadows of dreams, the shadows within shadows of shadows, measure and define the shapes in daylight. I return to the placid lake, where nocturnal light is reflected, and glittering shadows swim, looking to bridle, saddle, and ride into the day. But the blue horse just gallops on, and a star rises over the stream of my flame.